Philemon, the book of Philemon. We started this, was it last week? No, 2 weeks ago. There we go. Last week we were walking through the budget. Started this 2 weeks ago, and I'll just real quick remind you. So if you haven't filled in the blanks, I'm going to fill in the blanks for you real quick. Philemon, and we have a number of characteristics of who he is. He was a fellow worker of Paul. He was a slave owner, verse 16. He was a generous man, verse 2. He was a son in the faith, very possibly being led to the Lord by Paul himself. He was a servant of Christ, and he was a brother in the Lord. All of those telling signs and characteristics of who he is, it'll come to play as the rest of the story is played out with Onesimus in particular. And so that's who he was. We do know that it was written as well to a fellow soldier. We presume, verse 2, that Archippus was very possibly the pastor of the church, possibly Philemon's son. Apphia was probably his wife. Again, we're kind of conjecturing a little bit, but we know by the gender of the names and so forth and the close association with Philemon, that would seem reasonable. And so now we come down to, remember that this book was closely connected with Colossians. More than likely, Philemon lived in Colossae. That was the church he attended. And there's a number of cross-references and names. That's all those names listed there that we could see that connection there. Now, come down to the date and place. It appears as though this book was written near the end of Paul's first imprisonment. All right, look at verse 1. Paul, a prisoner. So we know he's in prison right now. Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, Timothy, our brother. Verse 9. Yet for love's sake I rather beseech thee, being such an one as Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ. So it appears as though he's in prison. If we connect this with Colossians chapter 4, and flip there, all right? So you just go back a few pages in your scriptures. Colossians chapter 4, verse 7. All my state shall Tychicus declare unto you, who is a beloved brother and a faithful minister and fellow servant of the Lord, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that he might know your estate and comfort your hearts with Onesimus. All right, here's the connection with the Onesimus that was Philemon's slave. With Onesimus, a faithful blood brother who is one of you, they shall make known unto you all things which are done here. So again, and as we correspond that with what's going on in Philemon, again, Paul very clearly in prison, and we presume at the end of his first imprisonment, because in verse 22 he says this of Philemon. Now I'm in Philemon, back to Philemon 22. But withal prepare me also a lodging, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be given unto you. He's going to be released. Well, we do know that at the end of his second imprisonment, the writing of 2 Timothy, he told Timothy, my time on earth is done. All right, I fought a good fight, I finished the course, kept the faith, I'm going to die. So it appears as though soon that Paul was expecting to be released, though he was still trusting the Lord for that. Now, why did he write the book? Why did Paul write this to his son in the faith, his brother in the Lord, if I can put it that way, Philemon? Well, verse 18. Talking about Onesimus, if he hath wronged thee or oweth thee aught, put that on my account. It makes it very clear as we walk through, and I should almost just take a really quick read through the whole story because it's a great story. But Onesimus was Philemon's slave. It was very common for slaves that ran away from their master to end up in Rome. Rome was, to put it in modern terms, Rome itself was a sanctuary city. Okay? Right? But not for the same reasons, okay? Just so you know. The slaves would end up there and they would kind of get lost in the crowd. And there were several temple sites that were free sites. They could essentially go to the temple site and no one would touch them there. You remember how, like, in the Old Testament, several people ran to the altar at the temple and grabbed the horns of the altar when they felt like they were about ready to be slain? That was cultic, all right? That was like other religions. Well, the same thing was happening in Rome. So a slave would often run to Rome, go to the temple site, and he was protected from justice, which he probably deserved, generally, all right? Well, that's just a guess on Onesimus. Somehow, Onesimus ends up in Rome while Paul's there. And somehow, now, Paul's in prison, remember. We do know from the end of Acts chapter 28 that he dwelt in his own house with a Roman soldier coming to his home. But Paul didn't get out. He was chained in, okay? Maybe Onesimus did get captured. Who knows? We don't know. Anyways, we do know that Onesimus ended up in contact with Paul. Paul leads him to the Lord. So Onesimus is saved, and he becomes very useful to Paul. Look at verse 10 and then verse 13. I beseech thee for my son, all right, saved, all right, so a son in the faith, for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds. All right, so he's in prison, but he's led him to the Lord here. Verse 13, whom I would have retained with me. Paul desires that Onesimus would stay because Onesimus, he's one of these guys that's done a 180. All right, it's a night and day difference. He's gotten saved and he's gotten a full dose. And he's serving the Lord by serving Paul. He says, verse 13, I would like to retain him with me, that in thy stead, so as a substitute for what you could do for me, I'm in Rome, you're in Colossae, I'm in prison, but Onesimus is here, that in thy stead he might have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel. So we find that Onesimus is profitable, is useful for Paul, but Paul wasn't about to just steal a slave. All right, so there's a conflict here. Onesimus actually is owned by Philemon. Now, I will tell you, and I gave you some hints of this 2 weeks ago, slavery in Rome had several different levels. We're not sure exactly where Onesimus was, but often to be a slave of someone wasn't as bad as it sounds to our American ears. It really meant, yes, you were assigned or you were bought by somebody, but you worked a regular day job like we would work. You were really more of like an employee to an employer. Now, the employer was your boss and your owner, okay? So he had a little bit more authority than your American boss here. At least I think so, okay? Right? But there was a lot of freedom. A slave would live in his own home, would have his own family. A lot of those things happened in the Roman Empire. So that's not uncommon. But if he ran away, if he didn't fulfill his obligation, this is where the ownership part comes in. Well, the just reward for that is he could be killed for that. So he didn't have the slave didn't have the freedom that you and I have in America. We can say, I don't like my boss, I don't like my company. If I want to quit, I can quit and walk away. You're not quite tied to that. There are some things that tie you, some groups, I'll just put it that way, that maybe kind of really tie you in. But we still have those freedoms. They didn't have that freedom. If he left, he could lose his job. Anyways, so there's an obligation here. Onesimus gets saved, is serving Paul, but Paul, finding out all the story, realizes, wait a second, Onesimus has an obligation to his owner. And there's a need for reconciliation. Now, this is unique because now the slave is saved and the boss is saved. The master is saved. And yet, there is responsibility here. And the slave owes his master his work. Are you following with me? And so for Onesimus to stay with Paul would be wrong because the relationship with the master is not rectified, it's not reconciled. Now, Paul is going to encourage Philemon to essentially free Onesimus, that maybe Onesimus could come back and serve Paul. But he's not going to do that unless it's Philemon's will. Why? Because Philemon's the boss, and he has every right to continue to hang on to Onesimus, to use him as a slave, a servant in his household. Right? And Paul understood that. So there's societal obligations that were right, and so Paul says we've got to get this rectified. So that's why he's writing the book. Onesimus has been saved, but he's still a slave that's run away from his master. He needs to be returned to his master for restoration, reconciliation, and receiving. All right, this is verse 12 and 17. Let's look at verse 12. Whom I have sent again, talking about Onesimus, thou therefore receive him. There's the key word. That is mine own bowels. Receive him as you would receive me. The word receive has the idea of to take as a companion. To take as a companion. It's the same word down in verse 17. If thou count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself. So that word is kind of giving Philemon a clue. No, don't just take him back as your slave, he's something far different than that now. He's your brother in Christ. Even though you own him, he's your companion. Little known history that has been suppressed in our country, and I would encourage you to read it. Dr. Cummins, in his volumes on This Day in Baptist History, talks about it several times. Before the Civil War, there were good masters in the South, Christians, Baptists, that owned black slaves, treated them well. And they would often, some of those men, not all of them, but some of those men, they actually helped the black men establish churches for the Negroes. They actually, do you realize that the Baptists were part of some of the first desegregation of congregations, inviting the blacks into their congregation? But then realizing that the culture was so dramatically different, they helped them establish their own church as well. One slave, the master released so that he could go to Jamaica to share the gospel. Isn't that something? Now that's, you don't know that, and you don't hear that in our public schools today. I'd encourage you to read up on it. Anyways, that's kind of what's going on here. Wait a second. This slave is now my brother, and he's using the word receive, my companion. Okay, another word that he uses. Let's go down to verse 15. It's translated receive here, but it's a different word in the Greek. For perhaps he therefore departed for a season, that thou shouldest receive him forever. This is the word hold on to. And the idea here is that it's something cherished, something loved, something worth, something of great value. What an amazing thing. This slave who has been a runaway has been worthless to Philemon. Now because he's saved and he's coming back, has value to Philemon. Spiritual value, not just job value. Can I put it that way? Unique perspective. Okay, so now, real quick, what's the volume of the book? Well, I just divided it up into really three sections. It's at the bottom of the first page there. You don't have to fill in any blanks. So Paul first praises Philemon, verses 1 to 7. And then Paul pleads for Philemon. He gives him a plea. Would you receive Onesimus back? And maybe would you even send him back to me? And then Paul's what I call preparations with Philemon. He's just doing some housekeeping things right at the end of the book, verses 22 through 25, sending greetings and so forth. So Paul's preparations with Philemon. But most importantly, he says, prepare me a room. Now, we don't know the rest of the story. This is one of those stories that I would love to find out when we get to heaven. So what happened? Now, why didn't God include the rest of the story for us in scriptures? Because we don't need to know now. There's something more important than the rest of the story for us to learn from Philemon. So try not to get caught up in the rest of the story. We don't know it. Why did Christ want this book, this little letter to a person, to be included in scripture? Well, there's been plenty written, but let's go to the backside now and let's talk through the value of the book. Reconciliation is a key trait of the Christian life. We often think of the term of reconciliation as a term that deals with me and my Savior. Jesus Christ died in my place so that I could be reconciled to God. My relationship with God had been severed because of my sin. Jesus paid the price for that so that my relationship can be restored. That's the word reconciliation. Something that's broken, put back together again, especially when we're talking about people relationship. Real simple picture, isn't it? That is to be a part of the Christian life as we deal with one another too. It's not just between me and my God, it's between me and my brother, Christian. There should always be on our part as a believer that we work tirelessly at bringing reconciliation to any broken, especially broken Christian relationship. Does that make sense? And Paul demonstrates that here in this letter. He's doing all he can to reconcile Onesimus to Philemon. He can't do the reconciliation. He can only facilitate it, prodding it along. This has got to be done. I would like to have been in the house or the cell or wherever where Onesimus and Paul were talking. When Paul brings up for the first time, you know what? You should probably head back to Philemon. Now, maybe Philemon's heart is so tender that he says, you're right, Paul, I'm glad to do it. But if his heart is like most of ours, his first response was, you've got to be kidding. Do you know what that means? He'll probably kill me, and I deserve to be killed. And that's scary. Could you imagine Onesimus as he shows up at the door? Now, is Tychicus with him? Maybe so. But Onesimus is the one that's got to come to the door, knock on the door or knock on the gate. Philemon opens the door. I mean, they didn't have cell phones. There was no text ahead of time. I'm on my way, just so you know. Okay. They show up. They just show up. I've had that happen once in my life where someone totally, once maybe it's been more than that, but where there was a need for reconciliation and someone just shows up at my door, totally unexpected. Come in, my brother. This was unexpected. And some would say, some that know the situation would say, that was not right for you. And no, I'm just glad that there was a desire for reconciliation. I mean, thousands of miles were traveled in a trip to try to get some reconciliation done. Praise God. Okay, praise God for that. But that's a little startling. What was Philemon feeling like? Is that who I think it is? generally, unless he's really being spirit-controlled, the first reaction is generally not a spirit-controlled reaction. There's that fleshly tendency, I'll show him. At least it probably crossed his mind. Now, maybe not. Maybe Philemon is just walking with the Lord so well that doesn't cross his mind. I hope so. But there's a lot of issue here. And this whole story tells us God wants us to be reconciled with our brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, I can't force anybody's hand. Philemon couldn't be forced in this. We'll see that in just a minute. Philemon couldn't be forced in this. Onesimus couldn't be forced in this. That had to be a volitional choice on their part. Paul could only encourage. Again, Paul the persecutor became Paul the persuader. Saul the persecutor became Paul the persuader. He's doing all he can scripturally to persuade both Philemon and Onesimus to do this. But he couldn't make them. And they had to choose, both of them, to be reconciled. Onesimus had to humble himself. Really, that's an explanation of what Philemon had to do. He had to humble himself to receive his slave back without the punishment that he deserved. Isn't that amazing? What an beautiful... If you ever struggle with having a problem with a brother and you know it needs to be reconciled, come back to the book of Philemon and find your encouragement here, the prodding of the Lord here. Can I put it this way? If Onesimus and Philemon can be reconciled, I think almost any of us can be reconciled. Let's be humble enough to be reconciled again. So, before I finish tonight, I think I'm going to not get all done tonight. So, let's take the time. I want us together real quick, and this will be the end of the night. Let's just read through the book, because I want you to see the whole story. Verse 4, I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers, hearing of thy love and faith which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. He's helping Philemon think right thoughts as Onesimus is standing at the door and Philemon for the first time is reading this letter. Don't forget the circumstance here. Onesimus just handed him this letter, and this is what Philemon is reading while Onesimus is before him. Verse 7. For we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. Wherefore, though I might be much bold in Christ to enjoin thee, to really almost force your hand, that which is convenient, which is proper, which is best, which is really required, actually is the word convenient. You could say required of the Lord by Philemon. Yet, for love's sake, I rather beseech thee. I want to persuade you. I'm going to earnestly exhort you. Being such an one as Paul the aged, I am your father in the Lord, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ. Be tender to even my imprisonment. I beseech thee for my son Onesimus. Could you imagine Philemon reading that word, son Onesimus? In many ways, that changes everything, doesn't it? Philemon reading. Could he have maybe looked up at that moment? Onesimus, you know the Lord? Son Onesimus, okay, whom I have begotten in my bonds, which in time past was to thee unprofitable. Well, that's for sure. But now profitable, useful, fit is the idea, to thee and to me, Paul says, whom I have sent again. Thou therefore receive him, that is mine own bowels, whom I would have retained with me, that in thy stead he might have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel. But without thy mind, I would do nothing. I cannot force you, Paul says. I want this to be your choice, Philemon, that thy benefit should not be, as it were, of necessity, like I'm forcing your hand to be a blessing to me, Paul says. But I want it to be willingly. For perhaps he, Onesimus, therefore departed for a season, that thou shouldest receive him forever. Not now as a servant, but above a servant. A brother beloved, especially to me. But how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord. If thou count me therefore a partner, or co-laborers in Christ, receive him as myself. Philemon, if you're having a hard time bringing in Onesimus, don't look at his eyes, look at my eyes, Paul says. Receive him as you would receive me. I love Onesimus. He's my son in the faith, Paul's saying. He's been a blessing to me. Verse 18, if he hath wronged thee or oweth thee aught. Now look at this. This is a man stepping out, that I put that on mine account. Paul says, Onesimus is a slave. He's probably stolen. This is probably the idea from the verse. But charge that against me. I will pay his debt. Believer, are you willing to go that far in helping a brother get reconciled with a brother? That's sacrifice. And that's what God calls us. Paul's setting an amazing example for us. Sacrifice of time, talent, gifts, money to help a brother get reconciled. I, Paul, have written it with my own hand. I will repay it. Albeit, I do not say to thee how thou owest unto me even thine own self besides. He's encouraging Onesimus to be generous, as he had already spoken about Onesimus' generosity to the brothers in Christ in those first few verses. Yea, brother, let me have joy of thee in the Lord. Refresh my bowels in the Lord. Let us forgive, is what he's saying. Having confidence in thy obedience, Paul is so certain that Philemon is going to follow through. He says, I wrote unto thee knowing that thou wilt do also more than I say. Can you imagine? Onesimus must have clung to those words that Philemon would do more even than Paul said. But withal, prepare me also a lodging. Now Paul, it's like, it's all done. And now Paul's just going to throw in some just normal conversation. We're friends. Philemon, I love you. I love Onesimus, you know that. I presume it's all reconciled. So, hey, would you make sure that there's a place for me? Because I trust that through your prayers I shall be given unto you. And there salute thee, and then he lists those folks. And then the grace, verse 25, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. All right, I'm going to quit because there's a couple more points to make. But what an amazing story of reconciliation. Believer, let it be the character of our heart and life, like it is the character of our great God and Savior, that we are known to be reconcilers with our brothers and sisters in Christ. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this great, great story. I pray that you would help us to not miss these powerful truths from this very short but potent book. Lord, we'll need your grace and help. We're very human, and we understand and we acknowledge before you that there are times where my brothers and sisters in Christ bother me and maybe have even offended me, or I've offended them. We've sinned against one another. Lord, may we be known as people that are quick to bring reconciliation to a relationship, ready to forgive, ready to love. Thank you for Philemon's great character. And we anticipate that when we get to heaven, we'll hear the rest of the story, that there was a great reconciliation that day when Onesimus showed up at his door. I pray that you would help us to have that character as well as we follow Christ and his reconciliation for us. Give us a good rest of the week in your name. Amen. Have a good rest of the week, folks. You are dismissed.